get up there, you know, it's...
All right, let's begin this morning in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and enjoy fellowship around your word and your grace. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out upon us. We pray that you would be our teacher throughout the service and everywhere, Lord, where your word is being opened this morning. Father, we pray that the ears of your saints would be opened, that you would prepare the preachers and teachers of your word, that your word would go forth with power. And we thank you for all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Paul writes to Timothy, begin in verse 14, and we'll read down through. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All right, we've been talking about the fundamentals of dispensationalism and the house that God built. And these last few weeks we've been focusing in on the time that Paul calls but now, and this dispensation of the grace of God. And we've looked at something of the house and the house order that God is preparing today. And what I'd like to do this morning is to take a look at the scriptures, the part of your Bible that relates and that speaks specifically to this dispensation that you and I live in today. Paul here says in this passage, again verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth and dispensationalism, you never want to get the idea, or let anyone else get the idea from you, that we don't believe, embrace all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we understand that all the Bible is for us to learn, to be edified by, but it's not all written directly to us. It's not all our instruction. So Paul says here, before he says that all Scripture is profitable, back in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you want to know who you're getting your doctrine from. And of course, in this case, Paul is talking about himself to Timothy. Continue in that doctrine, but not only to continue in the doctrine, but understand and remember and keep in mind who you're getting that doctrine from. That's important. So Paul reminds Timothy to be aware of that. Now, that description in verse 16 of all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's see if I can... Doctrine. We know what that is. That's teaching, the way of the Lord. What are our instructions? What is the truth? The present truth the Bible talks about for doctrine, for reproof. Reproof is basically when you scold somebody, right? When someone's behavior is not up to a standard, you reprove that person. It's a correction of behavior. So doctrine, reproof, correction. So what's the difference between correction and reproof? Well, correction is not necessarily an issue of behavior. Correction has more to do with doctrinal error. So you've got doctrine to teach each other, one another, build up the saints to begin with. Then you've got reproof, that when the behavior of the saints doesn't match the doctrine, then you've got that reproof that comes in. That is enough, I think. And then you've got correction for when it's not a behavioral issue, but it's a doctrinal issue. Again, all of it matching up against the doctrine. You want your behavior to match. You want your what you believe to match the doctrine. And these are that's where the profit of the Scripture is that Paul's talking about here. And all of this would go under instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Righteousness. I need a wall behind this board. All right. So Paul says that Timothy, from a child in verse 15, knew the Scriptures, and those Scriptures were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he says that the Scripture, in its entirety, is given for your profit and for mine in these specific categories, for that instruction in righteousness, which includes doctrine and reproof and correction. And the purpose, the end in verse 17 there, is that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So when we look at the Scriptures that are written to us, come back to Book of Romans, because we know, as we go through our Bible and rightly divide the word of truth, that the Scripture for you and me is found in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. Right? Somebody says, well, Paul wrote Hebrews. Well, I don't know that Paul wrote Hebrews, but let's put it this way. The books of the Bible that have Paul's name in them are written to you. We can do that and hopefully set that aside for a little bit. Here in the book of Romans, Paul, take a look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Let's just get a couple verses here. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when you come into Paul's epistles here in the book of Romans, you're really kind of coming into a basic doctrinal treatise that there's a reason that the book of Romans stands here at the head of the Pauline epistles. It is very basic on the one hand, fundamental, foundational, and as profound and as deep as you want to get on the other. But the thrust of it is here in these few verses when Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. And it's about your salvation. It's about the power of God, and it's about the righteousness of God. And the book of Romans is primarily a book of doctrine. The book of Romans lays down the basic fundamentals of righteousness, of salvation by faith, of the grace of God. Look in chapter 3, Romans chapter 3. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, that's what we're talking about, right? We've talked about time past and but now and the ages to come. So Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And he goes on and he says, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. So when Paul talks about the gospel and how the righteousness of God is revealed in that, that is truth that fits today in the but now. These things were not revealed in time past, but now, Paul says, they have been. And this book of Romans goes through systematically that doctrine of the cross, that faith in His blood, beginning with our salvation, taking us from infancy, even before. Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. So the book of Romans kind of backs up and really takes you from the absolute ground level and brings you in. And Paul talks in the first couple of chapters about things that happened way back in early Genesis, and he kind of carries you through with this thread of faith in Christ's blood. And he gets you through to salvation, and then he talks about eternal security in chapter 5, and then chapter 6 through 8. He starts moving forward with that, and he talks about the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ. Come over to chapter 6. Beyond your salvation, the salvation of your soul. And he starts talking about it in terms of the Christian life. Now that you're saved, you're going to want to know how to serve God, how to live righteously. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's by faith in His blood. The same way we came in. Chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it's not just that Christ was crucified, but you and I were crucified with Him. And Paul goes on through these next three chapters and elaborates on that and gets into that in detail. So, and he goes on from there. We can't study the book of Romans here this morning, but he starts talking then about Israel and what happened to them in chapters 9, 10, and 11, and gives you fundamental truth that applies today, where the nation of Israel is, and more importantly, where God is in the program that He's working, and where you and I stand. Then he goes on beyond that, and he gives practical instruction from chapter 12 on through. How do you live in this new dispensation? You're not justified by the law. The law is gone. If you're under grace, you're not under the law. Well, if we're not under the law, what are we supposed to do now? Well, Romans chapter 12 through the end of the book tells you that. How do you live under grace, under this new dispensation? So the book of Romans is a book of doctrine, fundamental basic doctrine. And the doctrine there, let's see if we can do this, is the cross, regarding the cross of Christ. Now, as you go through, and we won't have time to stop and look at verses through all of Paul's epistles here this morning, but as you go through, you go into the Corinthian epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and what you realize is that as Romans is a book of doctrine, the Corinthian epistles are reproof, right? Because the Corinthians, they got that gospel that Paul was ready to preach to them and did, and they got saved, but then they weren't living, they weren't behaving properly. Remember, reproof is about bad behavior. And what you had in Corinth is you had all sorts of carnal issues, fornication and drunkenness and those kind of sins of the flesh. So when you go through Paul's epistles and make your way through, what you find is that the doctrine that you get in the book of Romans is not being lived up to in Corinth. So Paul writes those books of reproof to essentially teach the Corinthians and you and me how that our life, our outward life, our behavior needs to match the doctrine that we've come through in the book of Romans. So you get that reproof. You know, Paul says the Scripture is profitable for reproof. If you want to get the profit that's there in the Scriptures, you have to let it reproof you. You have to let yourself be reproved. That's not always easy. But if you withstand that, if you stand against that, if you don't allow that, if you don't understand, you need to understand grace to the point that you're able to allow yourself to be reproved. See, if I have a religious legalistic mindset, what's going to happen is I get it in my head that I can't be those things. I can't allow myself to think that I'm that kind of a sinner, because what's going to happen to me if I'm that? But if you understand grace, you understand that you have liberty to see yourself as you are and let the Scripture do its work. Otherwise, you're just putting up a wall against it. See, grace enables you to grow because it enables God to do what He's trying to do in your life. So we learn and understand and come to a deeper knowledge of the grace of God. That frees us up. It gives us liberty to grow. So, we've got the book of Romans as a book of doctrine, primarily, and all of these books have all of these elements in it. Remember, all Scripture is profitable for all these things. But we're talking about basics here. Book of doctrine, Corinthians, a book of reproof, Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is a book of correction. Remember, correction is not so much about behavior as it is about doctrine. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And that was the problem in the churches of Galatia, is they had allowed these Judaizers to come in and to move them away from grace, from the grace of Christ. So their problem was primarily not, the Corinthians' problem was behavioral. The Galatians' problem was more doctrinal. Now, it's all kind of resulting in the same things in the end: divisions and backbiting and self-serving and all of those things. But as you go through the Pauline epistles, through the rightly divided word, the part that's written specifically to you, this is what you're finding. If you work your way through, you get some doctrine, and from that you get some correction, some reproof on your behavior. Then you get, well, okay, that's true, but what about this, 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 and the other thing? How, you know, what about the law? What about sin? What about all of these things? Well, Galatians is there to correct the apostasies that sneak in against the doctrine. And the doctrine here of the cross that you get in Romans, the reproof here in Corinthians is based on that. Is based on the cross of Christ. Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I was able to give you guys was the cross, and everything that He, every reproof that He gives them is based on that doctrine, on the doctrine of the cross. The correction in Galatians, their problem was that they didn't understand the cross of Christ and what it did for them. That was where they went wrong doctrinally. So the doctrine of Romans is the foundation for the reproof of Corinthians and the correction of Galatians. Now, as you go through and you come to the book of Ephesians, well, now you've got a book of doctrine again. But the doctrine in Ephesians, we've got the foundation now of the cross laid in those first that first portion of Paul's epistles. By the way, you're in some Acts epistles here, and there are some things going on. What you're doing here is you're growing, you're progressing, you're moving forward. There are some things that go on in these epistles that don't go on today. We know when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul's epistles are included in that. We know that some of Paul's writings were before the close of the Acts period and some of them afterwards, and there's a transition in his epistles that needs to be recognized. So when you get into Ephesians now, well, now you're into the prison epistles beyond the book of Acts, and the doctrine now that you've got that foundation of the cross laid becomes the church. And Paul starts to tell us about, not starts to, but focuses on things like the body of Christ, the church which is his body, how that came together, how that Christ destroyed the enmity between Jew and Gentile and reconciled the two together in one body, and how that body has got a place in the in heavenly places, and all of those things. And the unity then that comes from that, from that relationship of being members of the same body. So then, from Ephesians, you get Philippians, and Philippians, again, is a book of reproof. Now, you read through Philippians and you go, well, that's not nearly as bad as what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I mean, he was, you know, he doesn't write scathingly to the Philippians, but it is a book of reproof, and here's the difference. We're growing here. We're progressing, right? You don't talk to an adult the way you talk to a child, right? Even if you're going to reprove them, you do that differently. And the situations are different because at Corinth, they were having issues with the flesh, with those outward carnal sins. In Philippians, it wasn't so much that. Look in Philippians chapter 2, and you could just read through the whole book of Philippians, and the book is about being of one mind. And it's interesting because the Corinthian epistles are about that too. Don't let there be any divisions among you. Don't let there be any schisms and that kind of thing. And Philippians, you know, has really kind of that same idea. But by the time you get to be a Philippian, right, you've come through the faithful Ephesians. See, what you've done here is you've come in as a baby in the Romans before the gospel, through the gospel, and on. And you start to grow up, and you get into the terrible twos and bad behavior and of a young child in Corinth here. And that has to be reproved, and the rod of reproof needs to be brought to bear there. Then you get kind of into an adolescent phase here in Galatians. It's just kind of rebellion and wanting to go off and leave your roots and find your own thing and all of that kind of stuff. The Galatians were just, I know what Paul taught, but they knew better, that kind of thing. Then you get to Ephesians, and Paul writes that he writes that to the faithful saints at Ephesus in Christ, and we're starting to grow up a little bit now and starting to get the idea of walking as becometh saints. So when you get to Philippians, those carnal issues are pretty well dealt with. They never go away completely, but they're not as big an issue anymore. So the spiritual sins that were behind the Corinthians' bad behavior, that schism and division and self-seeking and self-serving, see, that's where the carnality came from. Well, by the time you get to Philippians, we've dealt with the carnal issues. Now we can start getting down and really dealing with some root causes here. And start talking about that pride and those spiritual issues that we all wrestle with. So I got you in Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So the call in Philippians is to that single-mindedness. Let's put aside those self-interests. We're all part of the same body here. We're all working for the same goal. If we're all controlled by the same head, then all the members are gonna work together as they should. When if your right hand's going off and doing one thing and your left hand's going off and doing it, there's something wrong in the wiring here, right? If the body's not working together, they're not all obeying the same head, right? You got something else going on there. So that's the call there in Philippians, and it is a book of reproof, gentler reproof. Solomon says, "Reprove a wise man." And he'll hear, right? The rod is for the back of fools. And then you move into Colossians, and Colossians, again, is a book of correction. Take a look at Colossians chapter 2. So what you see as you go through Paul's epistles, you've got laid out the way that Paul tells you the Scripture is profitable to you. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Then you get to Ephesians, and you've got doctrine and reproof and correction as you start moving through. And the doctrine is progressing. The foundations are being laid, and you're moving forward. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And Paul goes on through this this passage here in Colossians and warns them. And he says so, we're warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, what did Paul say about the Scripture? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean that you're flawless. It means fully, thoroughly equipped to all good works, mature. So the Colossians are having some issues. They've got some issues with the wisdom of men, just like the Corinthians did. They've got some issues with legalism, just like the Corinthians and the Galatians did. They've got some issues with angels, apparently, in Colossae. They had some kind of spiritualism going on there, and Paul has to correct them about that. But again, it's not as scathing as the book of Galatians, because he knows who he's talking to. He's talking to some grown-up Christians who need a lighter touch. Then you get into the Thessalonian epistles, and the Thessalonian epistles again are doctrine. And the doctrine now in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is the coming of Christ. Just about every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with a statement about the coming of Christ, waiting for his coming and so forth. And 2 Thessalonians talks about the advent of Christ and the Antichrist. And probably the most detailed description you get of the Antichrist is from the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians there. And how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and so forth. So now what you've done here now, you've moved from infancy through childhood, through adolescence, into adulthood, and you're continuing to grow. And now, by the time you get to Thessalonians, you're kind of looking just over the horizon, right? You're starting to see the end, right? We're growing through Paul's epistles, getting close. You're kind of at the you're getting into the grandparent stage here and beyond, when you've grown up and the Lord has given you victory over fleshly issues and doctrinal issues. You're rooted and grounded in Christ, and you start growing up and you start preaching the gospel, talking to people, and you start having children, and now you're building other people up as you were built up, and you go through this process, and it gets more tender as it goes. It's not nearly as coarse as you go through here. Just like, you know, I find myself as I get older getting a little less rough around the edges, I guess, and a little more I cry more than I used to. Until you get into Thessalonians, and you're kind of sitting back and waiting, you know. So the doctrine there is the coming of Christ, and after that, there's no more reproof and there's no more correction. Why? Well, because after the Lord comes, we don't need any of that, right? We don't need any reproof. We don't need any correction. We'll be perfect in every sense at that point. So that's kind of how, now that's the church epistles. Beyond that, come to 1 Timothy. You've got what we call the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy, do chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So that's what the pastoral epistles are about, essentially, in a verse. To know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. We've been talking about the house that God built, right? Well, Paul says that the house of God today is the church. And we ought to know how to behave ourselves in church, right? We learned from the time we were very little, we learned we need to behave ourselves in church. Well, Paul says, I'm writing this not just, you know, keep you from running up and down the aisles, but to know how to conduct ourselves. How does this thing work? How is it that we do what we do in the local assembly? Well, that's what the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, that's what those epistles are about. And the, where can I put this now? I'll put these over here. So we've got Timothy through Philemon. The issue there is the congregation. Keep them all C's, right? The cross, the church, the coming of Christ, then the issue in these epistles is the congregation. That is, not just the church, kind of the body universal, but the local assembly and the people in it, and how do we interact, and how do we conduct business? How do we do the things decently and in order that God calls us to do in the congregation? The issue here in Romans and Corinthians and Galatians with the doctrine of the cross, the issue is faith. And Paul talks about faith in his blood and justification by faith alone, and our behavior being based on the cross, faith in the cross and the blood of Christ. And he tells the Galatians, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith that should afterwards be revealed. And the issue here throughout is faith. Here, when you start talking about the church and Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians, you're talking about love. And how the saints ought to get along and to esteem each of us better than ourselves. Then when you get down here into the Thessalonian epistles, you got hope. Looking forward to that coming of Christ. Then down here, as you get into these pastoral epistles, the issue here is fellowship. How to work together, how to operate together and do the things that God has called us to do, not just to be able to come together without fighting. That's where we start, right? We got to get that. But then to be able to work as a functioning unit, doing those showing that profit that the Scripture has built into our lives. So as you go through Paul's epistles, they are very much laid out for our profit, the way that Paul says that the Scripture in general is laid out. And if you'll come with me to, let's close up in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Because we're going to be moving into the ages to come in the next week or two. I don't think we'll take as long with that section of the Scripture as we have with the but now. You know, understandably so. We take as much time as we need in what our instruction is today. But as we go through, what you find is you've got 9 church epistles here from Paul. And then you have 9 Hebrew epistles from Hebrews through Revelation. And as you begin to look at that, you realize that the book of Hebrews that heads up that section is a book of doctrine. And the doctrine in Hebrews is the cross. Except that the cross in Hebrews is presented and taught and laid out as it applies and relates to the Hebrews. And there's a lot of comparison to the old covenant against the new and so forth. The doctrine of the cross in Romans is as it applies to you and me, members of the body of Christ. For the Hebrews, they get the doctrine of the cross as it applies specifically to them. And you work through those epistles, you get to Revelation, and what's Revelation about? But the coming of Christ, right? As it relates to the people that it's written to. See? So, here in Romans chapter 16, I gave you a little sneak peek of next week, because Paul does that here. Romans chapter 16, verse 25, says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel," that's what the book of Romans is about Paul's gospel and those fundamental, foundational things, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Well, Paul doesn't talk a lot about that specifically here in the book of Romans, but what he's doing is he's saying, okay, you got my gospel. Now I'm going to give you a sneak peek. The next doctrine we're going to be moving into is going to be about this mystery and about the body of Christ and the Gentile inclusion into that and all that God is doing today through this new agency, this one new man that he's created. And you need that to be established. You get Paul's gospel first, then you get the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that which was kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And we'll talk about that later on. We need all of those things. See, now we're back to the scriptures again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that you and me can be perfect. What does that mean? Flawless? No. Truly furnished. Everything we need unto all good works. Is there anything that God wants us to do that we are not equipped to do? No. Why? Because we've got the Word of God. We've got the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've got a completed Bible. God has given us, He's equipped us with everything that we need. So for us now, you got a treasure chest here, right? All you need to do is open it up and dive in. Get the profit. We'll leave it there. Do you have a question? Yes, Rick.
That outline, and like you, I always, you know, mention that Thessalonians is the doctrine of the church, and after the rapture, you don't need any reproof and correction. But what I thought about it, 1 Thessalonians does talk about the rapture, and 2 Thessalonians is a little bit of reproof and correction.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, and it is.
Their doctrine of not getting the pre-trib part of it, and then he reproves them, you know, they weren't putting their job.
Got some lazy people, and they're not doing what they're, right.
Got a little of that in there.
It's a good point, yeah. I
get to listen to you for a change today, because I'm not speaking.
I enjoy the idea that after the Lord comes, we won't need any more reproof or correction.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, thanks, y'all.